From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 6th day of April, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. I'll remind you that we're in the middle of our pledge drive for the spring months, and you can help us out by dialing this number at 217-244-9455. More on that later. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And Dan O'Brien will be here to take a look at the agricultural energies. Oh, and the state statisticians are up too in their first weekly crop progress report of the growing season.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn for the day at 5.54 and a quarter, a penny higher. The July down, or rather up 1 3/4 at 5.41. It was the December that was lower, down 5 1/4 for the new crop at $4.83 and a quarter. May beans at 14.18 and 3/4, up 6 cents for the day. July at 14.11 and a quarter, 5 3/4 higher. November at 12.71 and a quarter, up 2 1/4. July wheat at 3/4 cent lower at 6.12 and 3/4 cent. Live cattle futures are down, rather up $1.35 for the day. The feeder's up 2.5 cents, and lean hogs a dime higher on the afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, now joins us to discuss what happened in Chicago for the day. Looked like a fairly quiet day, especially the end of the day, Wayne. What can you tell me about the marketplace?
Well, you know, we got a little enthusiasm out of the box this morning when a lot of Europe came back into the trade today. They were pretty much absent yesterday. We saw a little bit of buying start out of that, with the idea that they were buying some of the lower numbers that we got last week from the government as far as planning went. And as the day went on, we just sort of slid back a little bit, and very quiet, subdued trade. And I think everybody's starting to get ready again for the report on Friday, and just take a look. Also, you know, we're seeing a lot of field work going on right now. They said down in the Mid-South why a lot of guys are running today, but they're looking at some rain showers tomorrow, so some are holding back, but a lot of dust flying over in my area. I was talking over and down around the central Illinois area, they're over there, and there's a lot of corn and bean planters running mostly beans. So there's a lot of activity going on today, and I think that that's sort of watching those crops go in the ground, why sort of tempered a little bit of the enthusiasm of maybe the lower numbers we saw last week for planting accuracy.
Yeah, so with the crop progress number not that big, and certainly soybeans didn't show up last year either, but on the first crop progress of the year, we'll have the state statisticians on to talk about Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota in just a moment about that as well. However, I'm wondering, as you look forward to this Friday WASDE, World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, it's the monthly report, are there expected changes in each month? It seems like the trade saying, hey, wait a second, we need to change this corn number, and USDA simply has not. Is the trade still in that mindset?
There's a number in the trade that are thinking that they do need to increase the corn export sales number and reduce the number along the way. Looking at the extra business that China did that last round and everything about it, I know the government is very slow-footed, is wanting to do that. We've seen them roll into the next year. We've seen them cancel, you know, these big purchases at different years, and they are a little bit that way. But they are wanting to talk that they should add to the sales that way. They're also thinking that maybe the feed and residual numbers should maybe pop back up and lower some of the numbers that way. Will they do it? Boy, that's the big question again. But in the bean number, a lot of people are feeling that they won't go much below where they're at on the carryout, just because they feel that they won't go below pipeline.
Are they thinking now that they'll change not the ending stocks number, but they'll change the imports number to, in order to make the ending stocks look more like it should be where it is?
That's a great possibility. There was one news wire that came across. They weren't certain, but there was talk that there might have been beans that'd be coming into the East Coast. One news wire, I didn't read all of it, but it said, you know, not totally verified, but there are rumors that this is happening. And I think that, in all honesty, it's in some cases, it could work. You know, it's very close to working if they think we needed to import some beans. So that is something that could happen as to make the balance sheet look okay.
Yeah, and it's not that particularly unusual for soybeans to be imported from South America into the East Coast, I think into Wilmington, if I remember correctly.
You'd be very correct.
Yeah, to feed the livestock there. So everybody watches it pretty closely. It's not all that unusual, especially if we have very high prices for soybeans. And we do anything else before I let you go for the day?
You know, I think it's going to be very important to look at some of the long-term forecasts. It looks like there's a possibility of a warm, dry summer here that way. And that has a lot of people getting a little bit more scared to price a few more crops. But the weather's going to be very important. And I think we're going to get the crop in the ground. It's what happens afterwards from here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. It's our spring pledge drive. Have you dialed in yet? I hope so. Thank you to everybody who already has. We appreciate how much you appreciate the agricultural programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media, WILL Radio, whether you listen online or on the air. Speaking of on the air, Les Schulte, this is kind of a big day for us today.
It's a very big day. It's a happy birthday day. This is our 99th anniversary here, broadcasting and serving Central Illinois. And this is just a great testament to the people who use this station, have kept us on the air, and support this station. And we really thank you for doing that. Our 99th birthday, you can say happy birthday to us by making a contribution, maybe of $99 a year. That'd be a great way to start your relationship with WILL, or set it up as a sustaining gift of $9 a month. Think about that. The number to call is 217-244-9455, or go online. This is an easy way to do it. Go to willgive.org and make a contribution there, or text GIVE to 217-244-9455. You can make that gift and put it on your credit card, or set up an EFT, an electronic funds transfer, or if you work for the University of Illinois, set up payroll deduction. However you would like to make your contribution, we appreciate it, and we appreciate your support in supporting these stations throughout the years.
Hey, speaking of our 99th birthday, this is the 99th anniversary, right, or 99th birthday of the first broadcast. It was only a half hour long, the total broadcast, Turning Cream into Gold. It was about dairy. And ever since, we've been doing agricultural programming of one form or another, and we still do today. And if what happens here at the radio station makes a difference for the agricultural industry across the states of Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, the Dakotas, Ohio, if you listen in California or Pennsylvania or Florida because you're online, if it makes a difference to you, then we sure would like your help today, because the station operates about 40% of our budget comes from you, our listeners, and we need you to help out. I'd kind of like $120 a year. That's not a lot to ask, right? $10 a month. And you can do that really easily, Les Schulte, at 217-244-9455. And as with everything else, we keep coming up with new ways for people to make contact with us, because they can also give online and they can text us this time around,
too. You bet. Text GIVE to 217-244-9455. And someone will contact you back, and you can make your contribution that way. So if you're a texter, text GIVE to 217-244-9455, or go online to willgive.org, or do it the old-fashioned way and just give us a call at 217-244-9455. You know, Todd, I was looking back through some of the history that we have had here with the station in agriculture, and in 1928, we began our first agricultural reporting with an agricultural, you know, broadcast report. That's been a while back. And 1935, we began regular broadcast of the market prices. It's 86 years ago, and it's been going ever since. And so we really thank the people who use this service, who depend on it, and who support it. And do that now at 217-244-9455, willgive.org, or text GIVE to 217-244-9455. 9455.
Thanks, Les. Les Schulte is with Illinois Public Media, urging you to make a gift to our station in support of agriculture. In fact, when you call, text, or go online, make sure that you make note that you're making that gift in support of agriculture. And thank you. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It is the first one for the 2021 growing season of the 18 primary corn growing states, which represent about 92% of the acreage. Just 2% of that acreage has been planted. The rolling five-year average is also 2%. A few places that are off to a fairly good start, as usual, are Kansas, which is now 2%. Usually that's at 3% on the rolling five-year average, and Nebraska, which now is at 1%, is a bit behind. Normally, they are about 5% planted. The one place that's always way ahead at this time of year is Texas. The five-year rolling average there is 53% planted, and this season, it is 55% sown. There are no soybean numbers to report this week, at least nationally. On the winter wheat front, 4% of that crop is now headed across the nation. The rolling five-year average is 3%. The condition of the crop this week is 47% good and 6% excellent. Compared to last year, those numbers were 53% and 9% respectively. Now, here are updates from the state statisticians.
This is Rebecca Alter, statistician for the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office. Warm and dry days allowed Iowa farmers 4.3 days suitable for field work. Field work activities included applying anhydrous and fertilizer, spreading manure, and planting oats. Topsoil moisture levels rated 8% very short, 25% short, 64% adequate, and 3% surplus. Subsoil moisture levels rated 12% very short, 29% short, 56% adequate, and 3% surplus. 12% of the expected oat crop has been planted, 3 days ahead of last year and 4 days ahead of the five-year average. Pastures have started to green. Livestock conditions were generally good, and producers report calving is going well. For the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office, this is Rebecca Alter.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was dry across most of the prairie state, with northern and western parts of Illinois getting no rain at all. Southern and eastern areas had rainfall totals of generally 1/4 inch or less. Overall, the state average rainfall was just 4/100ths of an inch for the week. Temperatures averaged 45.6 degrees, nearly 2 degrees below normal. Much of the state experienced a hard freeze in the middle of the week, followed by temperatures that were well above normal at the end of the week. Illinois farmers were able to spread dry fertilizer and to apply anhydrous ammonia, as well as conduct tillage activities. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 1% very short, 16 short, 70% adequate, and 13% surplus. 2% of winter wheat acres were heading as of Sunday, April 4, and that compares to 1% for the five-year average. The condition of the wheat crop was reported as 9% very poor to poor, 17 fair, and 74% good to excellent. That is better than 1 week ago. Pasture conditions were rated 10% very poor to poor, 32 fair, and 58% good to excellent, nearly the same as 1 year ago. Soil temperatures range from the lower 40s in northern Illinois to the lower 50s in southern parts of the state on Sunday. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Lofta, state statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office with weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending April 4th, 2021. Mostly warm and dry conditions in Minnesota allowed farmers to begin planting small grains and potatoes with 3.9 days suitable for field work during the week. Other field activities included spring tillage as well as spreading manure and fertilizer. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 12% very short, 31% short, 53% adequate, and 4% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies are rated 6% very short, 37% short, 54% adequate, and 3% surplus. Many reports mention dry and windy conditions. Pastures are greening up with warm temperatures, and no issues were reported with calving, and livestock conditions were good. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress during the growing season. You can hear them each and every Tuesday right here on the Closing Market Report. Each Tuesday, we take a look at the agricultural energies. Dan O'Brien of Kansas State University Extension now joins us. He's an agricultural economist located in Colby. Hey, Dan, thank you for being with us today. Let's start with some history at the moment. This would have been the time frame where we went into the pandemic about a year ago. I'm wondering what that did. Most of us know, but let's recap that. And then, of course, there have been more recent weather phenomenon that has had an impact as well. So start with the pandemic and maybe work us through that hard freeze.
When the pandemic hit in April, June of last year, and we saw the U.S. economy contract and so many shutdowns happen, of course, ethanol sales and gasoline sales also fell off. We had been running just prior to that at about 1.05 million barrels per day, fell off to about 700,000 or below 700,000 barrels per day. I think that down to 684 or something like that. And then after we opened things up somewhat, we came back in and got back up to about at the top, about 950 up to just under a million barrels a day again. So in moving through time, came into the freeze that happened this spring, and it dropped down again to similar levels, but only on a temporary spike basis, spike lower down to, again, about 630, 650. But it didn't take but a week or two, and we were back up again to about 900,000 barrels, but 930, 950. But really probably the issue that's of concern, I think, to the ethanol industry and actually the corn growers who sell into that industry, is that from those highs of where we were back the pre-COVID hit, again, when we were at 1.05 billion bushels thereabouts, we've never got back up to 1 million bushels again. So anyway, that's been the challenge. And I think that we have seen statements from the leaders in the ethanol industry in the last week that have indicated a lot of optimism with regard to motor fuel sales, ethanol usage, et cetera. And so that's all the positive. If there's a kind of a challenge in the ethanol industry right now, it's that, high corn markets are making the break evens run to the high side. We have seen, thankfully, from an ethanol industry point of view, that the price of ethanol has stayed pretty strong here in looking at last official numbers for plants in Iowa, right next to where you're at. Ethanol prices running about, getting up to basically about $1.83 per gallon. So that's on the positive. The cost of production with high corn prices, again, of about $5.50, we're up at about $1.96. So still a 13 cent loss, and that'd be for the last full week we have to measure, heading for the week ending April the 2nd. So I think that the promise of strong economic activity this summer, particularly heading into the driving season, may be able to reverse that situation. I on the overall profitability, Todd, I think that the weakening we've seen by about $20 a ton in DDG prices, it comes at a time when, gosh, it'd be great to have not had that happen. And you know, we'd be a lot closer to break even than we are right now. But I think in general, when the industry looks back to the tougher times, as we talked about earlier, the COVID-19 drop and what happened during the freeze here earlier this year, when we dropped about 25, 30 cents losses, to be heading positively up towards 13 and hopefully even better than that in coming weeks and months is a positive sign for them.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. That's Dan O'Brien from Kansas State University Extension. He's an agricultural economist there in Colby. Don Day is now with us. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, let's get right to the weather forecast. There's been a lot of worry, especially in the northwestern Corn Belt. North Dakota, I think, in particular, maybe parts of Minnesota, a little bit of Iowa, about the dry weather conditions they have had going into the spring planting season. It looks like some of that may be alleviated. What can you tell me?
Yeah, there is a little bit of help on the way for those areas you just mentioned. And last week's drought monitor still showed all of the Dakotas in very dry conditions, some severe drought in parts of North Dakota, northern South Dakota, and portions of western Minnesota, and northern and northwest Iowa, still very dry in some areas. But those areas I just mentioned all have some really good chances of rain, a little bit of spring snow. But mostly rain here over the next 5 to 7 days. The big winner is going to be South Dakota and Minnesota and northwest Iowa. They've got some real opportunity there to pick up as much as 1 to 2 inches of rain, which would be great. Now, we expect it to get wet in April and as we head into May. So you've got to have these rains. You can still get them and still be below average since this usually is a wet time of the year. But this is the best widespread precipitation in those areas we've seen in quite a while.
It appears that farmers in parts of Nebraska, certainly in Kansas, are the ones that are ahead, or at least on time. So they're the first ones in the field planting corn at this point in the Midwest. What are conditions like for those two states?
Well, in eastern areas of Nebraska, they may get slowed down a little bit because some of that wet weather we just mentioned up north is going to get into the eastern counties of Nebraska, as well as parts of northeastern Kansas. Those areas are going to be a little bit wet with some moisture coming in here over the next 5 to 7 days. Will it be enough to put things to a halt? Probably not, but slow them down a little.
We've talked about rainfall. I'm going to guess that while farmers are really chomping and ready to go to the field, they wouldn't mind having a little more rainfall in the eastern Corn Belt as well. What does Illinois, Indiana, Ohio look like?
Well, they're going to get some. In fact, I do think that as we look ahead to the end of this week, this weekend, and early next week, some of these systems affecting the northern plains will bring some rain and thunderstorm activity to the eastern and central Corn Belt. Amounts of rain look to be in the neighborhood of 3/4 to 1 inch, 1.5 inches, and that would include all of Indiana, almost all of Illinois, parts of Ohio as well.
The only temperatures farmers would be worried about at this point would be something really cold. I don't think that's in the offing anywhere across the Corn Belt.
Severe cold, no. No, we do have some opportunities for temperatures to be a little bit colder than normal with some of this rain coming in. But to your point, any really severe cold right now is likely going to stay off to the western areas. But do expect over the next week or so some cooler periods.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
Don Day is with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Helped us to wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Thank you, by the way, for dialing that number or going online at willgive.org, 217-244-9455.